Okay, and we're back on number two. I'm going to talk to Terrible Tim over in England. And the world, as it continues, is looking worse each time we discuss things. Blood, death, suffering, carnage, pillage, and big profits for the military-industrial complex. And the Undertakers, too. So what else is new, Tim?
Well, I thought tonight we'd talk about bioinformational warfare, which is controlling the wetware, basically human automatons, which operate the military-industrial complex on both sides, and the research which was started in the 30s and has now almost come to completion, which is basically the control of communication between the human wetware, the transfer of information between the human wetware, and then the complete control of the human wetware to turn them into totally controlled automatons, which are controlled by the military-industrial complex for the Rothschild elite and the bankers, because basically all human labor is just there for the enrichment of the Freemason bankers in Europe and the Jewish bankers in the United States. And this research, of course, is at the forefront of it are people like Google and Facebook and MySpace, in that what they're doing there is collecting vast amounts of information with which they can mirror the mentality of the wetware, the organism which is actually using the computer. How can they do this? Well, of course, your searches on Google are all completely recorded, and this then gives the computer modeling the parameters to begin, you know, your interest, what you look at. Then, of course, you talk about and describe the personality you presume you have, when in fact it's an imprinted entity. But that, of course, is information you freely give away on Facebook and MySpace and on Twitter. And then, of course, remembering the military-industrial complex has vast computing power. They store all this information. And, of course, the NSA nerds have built up computer modeling systems which can then start to make a virtual you in their supercomputers in order that they then can test shock parameters, which are actually shock testing, which is testing the effect of shocks on the wetware in order to test that their virtual you is accurate. It's called shock testing. And they don't need to do it on you uniquely, because, of course, they can shock test you by, of course, changing the economy, or they can have some vast, nightmarish, emotional shock going through your wetware. For example, the media blitzkrieg of 9/11. They can, of course, look at the changes which happen to you on your birthday. These are actual shock testing, and all these external shocks can be done to you and monitored not on an individual basis, but actually they can look at your Google output, your Facebook output, and your Twitter output, plus your emails, plus your phone calls, all of which are black boxed.
They have a complete profile of everybody. Absolutely.
Exactly. So they can actually produce a virtual you, which then enables them to once they've got a virtual you, then start perfecting methods of controlling you. This is basically why the Google wives are all into genetic research, because then, of course, you want to tie it into the genetic profile of the wetware. So, in fact, if you've got a genetic profile of the wetware, and you've then got a virtual running you on the supercomputer, you can then start to look at the genetic makeup, compare it with similar virtual identities, wetware which shares the same characteristics, then look whether they share the same genetic material, and then of course you can then start to link certain genetic patterns with certain personality, interest, what you would call your human uniqueness, which isn't, it's just basically what your genetic material is displaying, which should be if you've got similar Google Outlook, similar Twitter, similar Facebook responses, then there should be identical genetic material in your genome. That's why the Google women are into massive genetic research, which of course is the holy grail of the military industrial complex, is to produce the protocols and technology for the complete control of the wetware, so that in fact all the human wetware running out there is totally and utterly controlled. They're profiled in real time in virtual space, so that any glitches in the system, e.g. you going and hanging a Jewish banker from a lamppost, or a firebombing a Scottish Rite Freemason British banker in his car with a petrol bomb and roasting him alive, these glitches can be foreseen, and action can be taken against you, or you can be put into the dangerous category, so special action can be taken against you. This isn't science fiction. This is actually here and now, and is actually technology which you have totally given your consent to, because, of course, you go on Google, you have your Facebook account, you have
they
your
have
Twitter account, and you have your MySpace account. So this is the so-called forefront of bioinformational warfare, which is controlling the hardware, the biological hardware, in order to run it, control it, which of course is the holy grail of the military.
Wetware.
Wetware, yeah.
Where'd you come up with that one?
That's a standard science fiction term for human bodies.
Or carbon-based units.
Exactly, wetware.
All right.
And we can then roll back to the beginning of it, which of course is specific humans which were then experimented on to control their wetware, which then gives us the research which was perfected in the 50s, which of course is all about turning wetware into assassins, into people who could record information, not know they were recording information, and then be able to pass it on to their handlers, and basically all these mind-controlled slaves, which are the basis of the NSA program. So, as I say, we can start talking about how that's done, and the biological secrets which the NSA are desperate that I give out, and how these mind-controlled wetware assassins, honey traps, these spies who don't even know they're spies, etc., are made by the American military-industrial complex.
Mm-hmm.
Which, of course, started with the Canadian scientist who got mental patients, and he locked them in morgue-type freezers for months at a time, giving them colostomies, and basically this was shown to erase the personality completely. So they had them under sedation in these morgue, I don't know what you call the roll-in, roll-out things they put dead people in. But they actually kept some mental patients in there for, 3 months until their personality was totally erased.
Right.
And the basis of making these mind-controlled assassins or people you totally control is, first of all, to actually erase the personality. Now, they found you can do that on adults by, of course, drugging them, giving them a colostomy and sticking them in a morgue container for 3, 4, 5 months at a time. Or you can start with children.
I don't know what they call those containers either.
There is a proper name for them, but I don't know it. Never come across it, thank goodness.
Yes, indeed.
We had the other stage, which was experimenting on children, which, of course, is why the CIA, NSA, the American Military Industrial Complex, have been running and involved in the entire paedophile network for at least since the 1950s. And basically all organized paedophilia in the United States is run by the military industrial complex. And of course, all paedophilia organized, this is on a big scale, not a few families exchanging children for sexual rape. But the big organized rings are all run in Europe, of course, by NATO and the Rothschilds in Britain. And of course, why do they do this? Well, they found that they could actually inculcate multiple personalities in children with sexual abuse and ritual behavior. And the scientists started looking at it, and of course they found the basis of multiple personalities and controlling wetware, which of course has been developed since the 1950s, is something called the brain stress system. And in the brain stress system, what we've got is that a stressor, which could be anal, oral, or vaginal rape, or beatings, or brandings, or hanging up upside down, or the various other things they get up to on children, causes a stressor. And this then causes the reptilian brain, which is on the top of the brainstem, mm-hmm. Specifically the locus coeruleus, to release neurotransmitters. These then go to the limbic system, which is all to do with emotions, and in fact is the initiator of all action within humans. Humans think all their actions are
Cerebral, intellectual, but they're not.
They all come from the limbic system. They mm-hmm. are all emotional.
Yeah. Hold on, Tim, right there. We'll come back to the limbic system in just a minute as we continue with Tim Riefat live from England. Okay, and back with Terrible Tim, talking about the limbic system. People don't understand very much about people. When you really think about it, they don't understand the reptilian brain, they don't understand the limbic system. If you asked 1,000 people on the street, probably no more than 4 or 5 would be able to tell you.
Yeah, but that's all to do because scientists like myself, who are professional researchers and users of bioinformational warfare, remote viewing has been developed into remote influencing, and remote influencing can be thought of as remotely influencing using bioinformational methods, the human wetware. But this is all way beyond the initial stuff, which was all about abusing children. And of course, We get the brain stress system, which causes stress in the body, and we know that the limbic system is connected to the reptilian system via the brain stress system. We know that everything a human does is emotional, and then they just make a mental construct around that decision, which of course is purely based on emotion, but then they make a mental construct to explain away mentally why they did it, when in fact it was done on a pure emotional context. Now, if we know that the limbic system is controlled by the reptilian system, then of course if we can control the reptilian system and then have a series of rituals, and we know the reptilian system is into rituals, it doesn't, it's non-verbal, so in fact if you have a ritual, a cult ritual, circle and pentagram, all associated with anally raping the little girl or boy, then of course that will produce one hacking in method into the limbic system. Once that stressor goes from the limbic system to the pituitary gland, the master gland behind the nose, it then produces ACTH, which is a hormone which then goes down to the adrenal glands, which are above the kidneys. The kidneys then produce cortisol, which then puts the child into a massive frenzied physical state, screaming, frothing at the mouth, desperately, you know, struggling. And of course, if you can continue this ritual abuse with the same symbolic background and the same symbolic talking and symbols, then of course the limbic system associates that ritual with whatever commands are given to the child. Mm-hmm. While that specific ritual system is being invoked by the reptilian body. So the NSA found that by this method, they could actually produce a programmed personality. Then if they changed it to example, a Star Trek landscape, and the abusers wearing Starfleet command uniforms, and then did another ritual abuse, this then would produce not the same response in the limbic system, but it would then produce another channel, because of course the reptilian system looks at the occult ritual. So if you've got an occult ritual, that produces one specific personality. Now if you change it to Star Trek, that then changes it to another personality, and they were amazed that they could actually cause multiple personalities in children via this process. So just by changing the background, the words, the symbolism, the ritual, basically the torture theater, which was around the raped and abused child, they could then produce multiple personalities. And as we know with the 100th monkey effect, once they'd done it to 100 children, it became something which was mimetically ingrained in the human race, making it much, much easier. So of course, they were amazed to find that these multiple personalities induced in children, some of them had eidetic memories, others had superhuman strength and reflexes.
Uh-huh.
Others would allow themselves to be abused and enjoy it. Basically, you're producing a pre-programmed sex addict or sexual toy that would allow anything to be done to it. And they could then build up a whole different set of characteristics by this mechanism. And of course, this was of extreme use to the NSA and the CIA, because of course, you can imagine, you can produce pre-programmed wetware honey traps for sexual liaisons. You can produce pre-programmed assassins that would be able to kill people. You'd be able to produce eidetic memory wetware, which would remember data perfectly, transfer it to the handler, and then forget it ever had the data in its head. We would then have any other characteristic that could be pre-programmed into this. And then they thought, well, what happens if we irradiate the adrenal glands? Well, what happens then is that the body no longer displays the stress, because of course the physical stress in the body is produced by the adrenals producing cortisol. So in fact, they then experimented on children irradiating their adrenals, or actually chemically damaging them, injecting the adrenals with chemicals which would damage them. And this meant they could then increase the amount of stress on the child to the point where it would normally kill a child, but in fact, since the cortisol release from the adrenals had been shut off,
wiped out,
the amount of stress that could be induced on the brain could be taken orders of magnitude higher, to the point where it would kill a child. But now, since the child's body had been divorced from the brain stress system, the brain could then be experimented on to levels that would kill a normal child. And of course, this gave a golden bonanza to the NSA CIA military industrial complex in the West, and Tavistock, which is the British version, in London, which of course runs all the psychiatric hospitals and psychiatrists, who are all part of the paedophile mind control machine.
All tied in together. Tim, hold on just a second there and we'll come back. The idea of ritual sex abuse is a worldwide phenomenon. You can't think about it as just being an isolated event here and there. It's a network, and it's a true tragedy for the humans that fall into it. Be right back with Tim in a minute. Fascinating segment, Tim. You touched upon a lot of very interesting things. The idea of the adrenals being shut down one way or the other, and cortisol and all that. That's the way that the mind controllers have been doing things for decades.
Exactly.
They have it down to a science. And the
it's the complete science. That's basically the control of wetware is now perfected.
Right.
And
well, what I was going to say is the tragic side of that, and there are actually several tragic sides to it, is that the people, the wetware, who are involved and who are trained and who are used, never know it. They never know it. They don't figure it out. They have they're screened from it. That's how the program works so well.
Yeah, the mentality that had it done to it forgets it, and the pre-programmed mentalities don't have that information in them. And of course, the symbolism controls what mentality, and the keywords of that occult ritual controls what mentality is produced in the wetware. And the military industrial complex in America actually wanted to broaden it so that they could actually turn the entire population into mind-controlled, bioinformationally controlled wetware. And of course, this was much more difficult, but the pathway that was taken was that the reptilian brain could initiate within the limbic system and the brain stress system, and of course the cerebral cortex, which is where all your word-type mentation occurs, a mentality which was completely submissive to authority. And this mentality, which was produced in the mind-controlled slaves, the Rothschild controllers decided that this personality should be inculcated in the general population so that we would have complete docility in the population, not towards each other, but towards authority, which, of course, were the Rothschild bankers and the government, which were the servants of the bankers. And this then, they had to do research into brain mapping, and what they found was that every thought action in the brain has a preparatory set, which is basically certain areas of the brain fire up, and the NSA and Tavistock started brain mapping, which was that every human reaction had a brain map, a preparatory set. And of course, they then started to be able to look at human brains and describe what the human was going to do once they had a comprehensive mapping of these preparatory sets, so they could actually then know what the human was going to do or what they were thinking, which of course is the basis for the brain scanners, which the military-industrial complex is starting to put in all the airports. But more importantly, they, on the ritual child abuse, each one of the ritual child abuse victims was put into a state of docility towards their handlers by the very process of the multiple personality installation. So if they could then duplicate this remotely in the human population, then of course they would then be able to produce this docile, mind-controlled slave mentality in the general population. And of course, Ross Ady, with the microwave program, found frequencies which would cause that behavior in the human when they were beamed via microwave phones.
Uh-huh.
And that was then broadcast on a massive scale, which caused a fundamental change in the wetware from being unique citizens who would pull down the establishment when things got bad, to the Western society now, where everything is given to the bankers. The bankers are above the law. The Westerners live in complete poverty, giving away all their wealth to the Scottish Rite Freemason, European British bankers, and the Jewish bankers in the States. And of course, they're totally docile, and only a few idiots, a few hundred idiots, prance around on Wall Street having a pathetic demo, instead of millions on the street going out and lynching the bankers. So this, of course, is a concomitant effect of Ross Ady's research and the Pandora Project on microwave mind control, finding the microwave frequencies which could then cause the reptilian brain and the limbic system and the cerebral cortex and the brain stress system to produce this docility persona in the wetware. And then, of course, it was taken further with the advent of computers, where, in fact, if you could have a screen which could broadcast preparatory set or inculcate the preparatory set for docility towards authority into the wetware, which would of course need a long antenna because these frequencies are all in the 0 to 20,000 hertz range, so you need a long antenna. But thanks to the liquid crystal screens, you can think of the molecules as being one long chain running down the screen, which can be massively long. So the screen can actually broadcast into the face of the wetware this docility program. Now, if you tie that up with the Google and the Facebook virtual modeling, so they actually produce a virtual model of you that's running real time on the Fort Meade NSA computers. And then, of course, they can then start using other inculcations of preparatory sets, not just to make you docile to your Jewish or Scottish Rite Freemason banker masters, but actually to start inculcating new behavior and producing other multiple personalities within you, not by actually raping you and brutalizing you, but actually by directly operating on the brain via transmitters in the computer and actually on the digital TV network in order to start mass changes in the human population. So, of course, this then gives the military-industrial complex the capability of controlling the wetware on a massive scale.
Endless supply. Endless. Hold on right there, Tim. We have to pause. We'll come right back in a minute. Okay, back with Tim, and quite a tour of bioinformational wetware.
Yeah. The next step is the control of the soul and spirit of the wetware, which is cutting out the soul and spirit from the wetware and putting in a foreign installation, basically the basis of remote influencing. And of course, research found that the supplementary motor area, which is that part of the cortex under the crown of the head, that area of the brain spiked, gave a signal off when the wetware said it was going to do something and did something. And when the wetware said it was going to do something and didn't do something, the supplementary motor area didn't fire. So researchers at the time stated that this was the gateway from the mind, the so-called soul spirit, biophysical body, morphogenic field, into the wetware, into the brain. Think of it as the port, the entry port for information from the non-localized mind, biophysical body, entering into the wetware of the brain. So, of course, if you could sequester the supplementary motor area nexus, you could then, of course, control the wetware remotely. This, of course, is what remote influencers like myself do. We basically sequester, take over humans and run them as remote automatons. It's basically been the Black Manhattan Project of the Pentagon ever since they officially gave up remote viewing. And of course, the military have basically just caught up with the Freemasons because, of course, the so-called checkerboard, which is in every Masonic temple, rotates the soul spirit of the victim, inverts it into the hanged man position, so it can't access its own brain, and that's the white checkerboard, and the dark checkerboard rotates the dark energy matter, or for example, dark energy matter energy from a remote influencer like myself, who's acquired loads of that energy. Rotates it up into the head in order to divorce the wetware from its own mind, soul, and spirit, and basically allow the possession, the total takeover of the wetware by either a dark energy matter entity in a Freemasonic temple when you do the rituals to basically possess yourself with all the Kabbalistic rituals, or, for example, when MI6 Colin Bloy and myself as the Super Psychic produced a massive checkerboard energy effect from the Brighton Fountain to cover, first of all, Britain, to turn the miners and the other union members into docile authority slaves, and then to broaden the effect over Russia in order to divorce the Soviets from their own minds, and then to install the destruction program of the Soviet Union into the entire Soviet population. This, of course, is done through the supplementary motor area. And, of course, you might say, why does a checkerboard, which is on every policeman's helmet in Britain, in every Freemasonic temple, why does that cause rotation of the biophysical body of the human and inverts it? And why does it turn the dark energy matter entity, which is from below, and moves it upwards to take over the supplementary motor area? Well, that comes from complex number theory, in that a square in complex number theory gives a rotation, and basically it's a mathematical operation which is done by energy fields, which, if you can actually produce them on a massive scale, can actually divorce entire populations from their soul and spirit and install into them a controlling entity or a sequestration entity which can take them over. This, of course, is aided by psychotronic generators, which, of course, are the obelisks, the monuments, or in my case, quartz crystals, which, of course, are linked to the internet and all the quartz crystals in computers. And actually, these, of course, can produce electrical spikes, which can then take over the supplementary motor area and actually inculcate in the brain preparatory sets and thoughts, which can then run the wetware. So one might think that the Soviet Union dismantled itself because they all wanted a Dallas lifestyle. The real truth was that MI6, secret occult branch, which, of course, it's not that occult, because, of course, I'm explaining the science behind it.
Right.
They have actual access to bioinformational warfare, which, of course, can then be used to control not only your own population, but enemy populations like those pesky communists, and get them to dismantle their empire without firing a shot. So this, of course, is the future of warfare. And one sees at the moment that control over Putin and the Chinese, turning them into wetware-controlled automatons, of course, is something which is top of the agenda of the military-industrial complex. And, of course, the only problem is that their leading expert in Britain, which is myself, is rabidly anti-Western and is using that technology against them. So, of course, I just wanted to explain to the general public that the control over the wetware is very, very advanced, way beyond your wildest imaginings. And you might ask, why do people put up with the Jewish bankers in America and the Scottish Rite Satanist bankers in Britain and Europe? It isn't because they have a choice. It's because the wetware population is totally controlled. And it's only the so-called masters, like myself and the Rothschilds and their experts, who have actually got any free will and are basically moving pawns around the board.
Uh-huh.
And the wetware, of course, we've come to the point where it's not the forefront of weaponry is not nuclear weapons, because, of course, we know now that America and Russia in a stalemate. America can't attack Russia if Russia drops Vieca, so the only way to win is to get Putin and the Russians to obey you and not do what you want, so the first strike is totally winnable. And you can't do that unless you have bioinformational warfare to totally control the Russians. The same with the Chinese. We've got to the point, the second advent of human civilization, which is the discovery of bioinformational warfare, not nuclear warfare, where the Holy Grail is the complete control, not just of the wetware in the street, but the high command Stavka in Russia and the high command in Beijing, and turning them into the mind-controlled slaves that you would do using ritual child abuse, but using technology which is way beyond their wildest imaginings. But I just thought it'd be interesting for the listener to start delving into some of the real deep secrets of the Pentagon and the British establishment, because, of course, unless you realize what you're up against, you have no chance fighting it. So I just thought it'd be interesting tonight explaining why the British government want to shut me up and have built nuclear-powered vans and have them stationed outside and four times. It's basically this knowledge of bioinformational warfare, mm-hmm. Which is the most important thing in the 21st
century battlefield. Well, it's the future, and the future is now, you're right.
Exactly, and that control of that gives control of the world. So I just thought they might like a little glimpse of that technology.
Well, that's a masterful presentation. I'm kind of awestruck.
Thank you for having me on.
You're welcome. Don't go yet. People can find out more about this at your websites, and we probably should tell them where to go to look.
Yeah, mindovermatter.ru is the one running, and of course, I've written about this technology in my books, which secondhand ones are available on Amazon, and of course, sci-master.com has got some of my books with information on the subject. So you can delve more closely into it. But say the control of the brain and divorcing the brain from the soul and the spirit is all well developed. And I was just lucky enough to leave university after doing my chemistry degree and join up with Colin Bloy, who was using this technology to turn the British into docile slaves to authority, breaking Arthur Scargill and the Miners' Union, which was top of the MI5 agenda, and then we used it on the Soviet Union. So, of course, it was good to be a scientist who actually understood the technology, and unlike the classically trained Colin Bloy, who didn't really understand the occult stuff he was using, I could actually then link it up with all the Ross 80 and the MK-Ultra stuff to actually give a broad overview of bioinformational warfare and then develop it further so that it could be useful to myself.
Got it. Very good. A very interesting hour. Thank you, Tim. Fascinating.
Thanks for having me on. As I say, I'm getting no invites from the BBC for some reason.
Well, surprise, huh?
Bye-bye.
All right, good night. Well, that's Tim Refat at his most interesting, without question. And we will be back with Hour 3 in just a few.